Safety, dependability, and power. Chevy Silverado isn't happy unless the work is hard and the day is long. No wonder Silverado is America's number one best-selling retail pickup truck. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com and put a Silverado in your toolbox.
Hey, there's my friend Brad Meltzer joining us again. He's a terrific author and storyteller, and now he's got his name on a series of books. Brad, welcome back. How are you?
Good to hear your voice. I'm great, thanks.
Congratulations on your last book, by the way.
Yeah, The Nazi Conspiracy was a once-in-a-lifetime kind of story, and I still can't believe that we got to tell it, but that book was obviously very personal. Yeah. The thing that's crazy is, I was going to say, I can't believe we're fighting Nazis in 2024, and here we have, you know, even in the new book, the same thing, just still fighting anti-Semitism. It's incredible how it repeats.
I suppose so. And the Nazi conspiracy is a story about three principals on the Allied side getting together. And it was just remarkable storytelling. Some of it you might recognize in the history books and some of you would not. So there's just another recommendation for me. That was a fun read. And now on to this series of children's books. Tell us about this.
Yeah, so, you know, people know me for my adult history. I started doing history for kids, and we started a line of children's books you and I have spoken about. We started with I'm Amelia Earhart, I'm Abraham Lincoln, I am Rosa Parks, books designed to give kids better heroes to look up to. I wanted my kids to learn how to be kind and be persistent and, you know, find humility, something that we've lost, I feel like, in America these days. And we've now been doing this kids' book series for ages about, you know, 4 or 5 years old to about 12 years old, this picture book series for 10 years. And we're celebrating the 10-year anniversary truly today with I Am Ruth Bader Ginsburg, which is our newest book in the kids book series.
And the, what, 32nd in the series?
I can't believe I wrote 32 books for kids. my kids are like, even my kids are like, that's a lot of books. But, you know, the goal has always been to help people build libraries of real heroes for their kids and their grandkids, their nieces and nephews. And, you know, and that's what we filled it with. I am Jim Henson, and I am Walt Disney, and I am Dolly Parton, and I am Jane Goodall. And it's just been incredible to see 7 million families come along on this incredible ride.
What's one of the stories that's your favorite? I have a couple of them in front of me, and I'll talk to you about them. But what's one of the – and let me insert this as you load up your answer. One thing I've enjoyed about them is I know these are books for kids, and I know who Mr. Rogers is or Ruth Bader Ginsburg is or Sally Ride is, but I'm reading things I didn't know. You know, it's works for the adults as well.
Yeah, we have a lot of people who buy them for themselves because they're just like, I just want someone to tell me the good parts. You know, Elmore Leonard, someone, you know, Elmore Leonard used to say, if you want to write a good book, you got to leave out the boring parts that people skip. And that's what we do with these kids' books is we give you the best parts. So I am, just as an example, you know, Ruth Bader Ginsburg, and again, we all know the name, but we think of her as this stuffy old Supreme Court justice. But when she's a little girl growing up in Brooklyn, she basically wants to have adventures. She wants to play tag and climb trees. But back then, girls aren't supposed to do that. You know, they say, you can't do that, is what they used to tell her. And it's her mother who breaks the stereotype. Her mother takes her to the library every Friday afternoon, says you can pick out 5 books when she's a little girl. And her favorite books among them were books about real heroes, Amelia Earhart, Harriet Tubman. And in those books, she learns the most valuable lesson, arguably, that she ever learns, which is there's absolutely nothing that a girl can't do. And I want my daughter to have that lesson. I want my sons to have that lesson. That, as a book, is what I Am Ruth Bader Ginsburg is all about.
And her mother dies when she was, what, 17 years old?
Yeah, she dies when she's 17. But, you know, the impact lasts forever. You know, when Ruth Bader Ginsburg is having her birthdays, every year on her birthday, instead of having a birthday party, her mom would take her to the local Jewish orphanage. And instead, no birthday parties, no presents. Instead, we're going to give away ice cream to the orphans. It's incredible. That's an incredible lesson she takes with her whole life, is that's how you serve. That's how you deal with injustice, is you got to repair the world. And that's not a lesson from law school. That's a lesson from her mom that, you know, when she dies at 17, stays with her forever.
You take some time to talk about her journey through law school and then trying to find a job. So at a time where there were not many women in Ivy League law schools or law schools generally. There were even fewer Jewish women. So how did she get through school? How did she do in school? And what awaited her when she graduated?
You know, she's pretty amazing. She starts at Harvard Law School, and then goes to my alma mater, Columbia Law School. And back then, it's so rare for girls to be part of the class that there's no girls' bathrooms. They don't have them. She's got to, like, walk across campus to go to the bathroom. She amazingly, at both Harvard and Columbia, is a member of the Law Review. So she's a star. That is a time when nobody's a member of the Law Review, much less, you know, the dozen women that are at these schools. And what awaits her is she graduates the top of her class and gets rejected for being a woman, for being Jewish, for being, you know, everything. No one cares that she's a lawyer. And it's amazing that one law professor takes a chance on her and talks her up and says, "This is the smartest student I have. You got to give her a shot." And a judge gives her a shot as a clerk. And it obviously, without that law professor, God knows what happens to history.
It's funny. You describe it as, I guess, history will, as take a chance on her. I mean,
it's Ruth Bader Ginsburg, right? I mean,
what's
that's
the matter with you people?
And that's how I love you for that. I mean, that's how when I'm researching the books, I'm going, I can't believe this. And, you know, it's funny when she starts teaching, it's not Ruth Bader Ginsburg who comes up with the idea of saying, let's start a class for women in the law. It's other students who say, hey, there's another school that's doing a women in the law class. We should have that here. Will you teach it? So she's like, I'm going to teach it. So she says, I'm going to read every legal case that's about women's rights.
Mm-hmm.
And she says, it didn't take me long.
Right.
There weren't that many. So she blows through them quickly and then realizes, wait, we have an opportunity. And here's the key point, is we all think of Ruth Bader Ginsburg as this incredible feminist. That's the word everyone uses. But she's a laser. She's smarter than everybody. You know, there's a reason Scalia, who I think, you know, her and Scalia were the two smartest on the bench, and you have these two polar opposites, but appreciate the intellect. And what she does is, in those early cases, and one of her first, is she's not fighting for women's rights. She actually takes a case that's about men's rights, where they say, if you're a woman and you're taking care of your parents, the government will give you X stipend to help you with that. But if you're a man taking care of your parents, you get nothing. And she realizes, wait a minute, they're treating men differently than women. I'm going to take that case too. And that's the equality she's fighting for. Not that women got to have more, but that you got to treat people equally,
right?
True equality. And I appreciate that. That's a really smart, calculated lawyer who's making that decision, and that's how you win people over.
You also write, though, one of my biggest cases you're writing in her voice was about a woman named Sally Reed and a law in Idaho that said, when you're choosing someone for a certain job, you should always choose a man before you choose a woman. Imagine that law existed. I co-wrote the brief that went to the Supreme Court, which is the most powerful court in the country. Then there's a funny animation in the drawings, which I think are perfect for kids, even though the language is good for kids and adults. I want to go back, though, a couple of pages. You also remind us that when she was a student, not only was she laser smart, but she was the definition of a multitasker. She was going to law school. She's a Jewish woman facing all those obstacles. She has kids, and she's caring for her husband with cancer. Is that right?
That is entirely right. In fact, if you look in the last page of the book, you'll see a thank you in there. And the reason I got some of these stories is Ruth Bader Ginsburg's daughter was my mentor in law school. And I got to and she helped me with the book. So I got to tell these stories. And she was the one who was like, you know, you got to put that part in there. You know, she's taking care of my father while he has cancer, and she's, you know, become a mother, and she's going to law school. So she's doing what everyone else in law school is doing, but she's doing it with so many more things on her plate. It's just staggering. And it just shows you, you know, that level of intellect she has.
But these are the things that we could love about and appreciate, and a kid should know about Ruth Bader Ginsburg. Some of us adults are mad at her that she did not retire before she passed away and upset the balance on the Supreme Court. Was it tempting to you to include that or reference that in some way?
You know, it's funny. When we do these books, we never When we do I Am Amelia Earhart, we don't say, and she died in a plane crash at the end, right? When we do I Am Abraham Lincoln, we don't show him going to Ford's Theater. And what we try and do is really focus on the moments that they're alive for, that they're living, because kids get obsessed with death. They do. It's just incredible. Like, if you say how someone dies, you know, parents will say that, and anyone who has a kid knows, they'll keep asking about it. But I was, to your question, going, well, what do I do with this one? But the thing that I take from it is, you know, listen, I think without question that when you look at the situation of what happened, if she knew it was going to happen, I don't think it's any question that she wouldn't have wanted that to happen. But what I did find out is it was Sandra Day O'Connor who told her years ago, don't retire. Don't retire, because Sandra Day O'Connor retired and basically regretted it. And I think, you know, you're asking Ruth Bader Ginsburg, who spent her whole life fighting and fighting and fighting, to not fight anymore. And that's I think, you know, that's a hard one to do. I know in hindsight, we all know there should have been another choice, but that's just the way it went.
You also have, Brad Meltzer's on a phone, and this is the 32nd in his series of children's books, I Am Mr. Rogers, I Am Ruth Bader Ginsburg, and the list goes on. These are books that I think you will appreciate as an adult, and surely your kids will. And I take your point that this isn't a 700-page biography of somebody. If I wanted my child to learn something about Ruth Bader Ginsburg, I would like her to know these lessons. I would like my son or daughter, my grandson or my granddaughter, to know about the generosity that Mr. Rogers' mother showed to children less fortunate. I didn't know that part of his story. I didn't know that he was bedridden a lot as a child and had to create stories, which led to a life in television. All really worth knowing.
Yeah, I mean, and that's the thing about the books is, you know, there's a timeline in the back and a real picture of her. And it's a fascinating thing that we've learned with these books is for kids who want to know more, you can look in the timeline and see exactly when she died, and you can talk about that. But we realize there are kids that are 4 and 5 that are going to read this, and there are kids that are 11, you know, 10, 11, 12. But what's amazing to me is when we did I Am Rosa Parks, we put the last, again, same thing, timeline in the back, real picture. And that was the third book when we started 10 years ago. And a friend of ours was reading that book with his daughter. Hmm. And he's white and his daughter's black. They're from a mixed race family. And they read the book and they get to the end of the book. And his daughter sees the picture of Rosa Parks at the back and says, wait a minute. This really happened. This really happened. And suddenly he said he was having his first ever real conversation about race with his daughter, which was incredible. And he should have had it earlier, you know, but he didn't want to mess it up. I mean, he's from a mixed race family. He should get it right, but he was terrified to get it wrong. And I realized it's exactly what you said. When you want to have that conversation and your child's ready for it, your child will have that conversation. What I love about the book series is, you know, the same way that Ruth Bader Ginsburg was given those great lessons by her mother, that's where she got those lessons, is you got to make change in the world. And Ruth Bader Ginsburg used the law to make changes. She saw the legal system as a way to make change. For me, as a writer, that's what these books are. They're my way of teaching my own kids how to make the world a better place.
They're published by Penguin Random House, the Ordinary People Change the World series. Get them wherever you get books. Ordinary People Change the World. And are you going to keep cranking these out, Brad?
We are it's funny. I went in there the first time to the publisher and they said, oh, it's so cute. You want to do a book about I Am Abraham Lincoln and I am Amelia Earhart, two books. That's really nice. And I said, no, this is on day one, 10 years ago. I said, no, I want to do 100 books. My goal is to build a library.
Wow, nice.
And
nice.
On day one, and they didn't laugh. And they said, okay, we're in. And we're now a third of the way there. So hopefully it'll take me 20 more years to finish at this rate, but I'm determined.
Well, let's stay in touch as more of them come out. And congratulations on the series so far, Brad. It's always nice to talk to you.
Always, my friend. Thank you for supporting us in every different genre, whether it's trying to, you know, show adults some history or show kids. I do appreciate that you appreciate the mission we're on here.
The books are nicely illustrated by Christopher Eliopoulos, and that's a Brad Meltzer, MELTZER. Ordinary People Change the World.